Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
I decided to throw that in there for old time's sake because I used to go all the time with Mr. Edwards and I when we were sitting here. But welcome to Our Black News. I'm Don Allen, and you know, of course, over there that's Jonathan Mason. Hey, good morning, man. How are you?
Man, I'm good, Don. How are you doing?
Okay, I'm trying to get my stuff in focus here. No, I'm just kind of hanging out, looking at the news this week. And I was going to start out another direction, but I want to just talk about it. You know, I have friends, and we all have friends that are on the verge of some kind of economic collapse because of the COVID-19 and what's been happening. And a really good friend of mine called me last night, and we talked for about 45 minutes. And it didn't hit me till this morning when I read the headline, Last Ditch Virus Aid Talks Collapse, No Help for Jobless Now.
Right.
You know, and that goes for the renter stuff. And it was like, wow, man, people are within 30 to 90 days of losing what they've had for many years. You know,
right.
I'm talking about everything.
Right.
I'm looking at our government officials, our elected to Congress, the Senate, et cetera, and I don't think they're pushing the envelope hard enough. And that's why I'm telling people it's very important in November, well, August 11th, you make the right choice, and also on in November, I think it's November 3rd, you have to make the right choice and get these, don't vote party, vote people, call these folks up, talk to them. I don't care if they're Republican, green, red, yellow, and winter, one of our chatters in the chat box there said, yeah, winter's coming up. You know, it's going to get cold. Go ahead.
And you touched on it, Don, due to the fact that last night Donald Trump talked about it. He talked about how Congress, it fell through. Obviously, he's going to blame the Democrats on something. But he did say that he will be making an executive decision next week on many items. It's just not TikTok. It's going to be items such as student loans. What are they going to do for, like you said, evictions and stuff like that? Because, you said 60 to maybe 90 days. I maybe think 30 to 60 days people are at the spot where they might lose it all.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's no, there's no really accountability within the party. You only can vote individuals. And like you said, you got to call them up. You got to figure out where they stand with you, and you're pushing their making them push the envelope so we can see this change.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. But, you know, Jonathan, as we go deep here on Our Black News, we kind of look at things from all perspectives, okay?
Right.
And you don't see too many of the mainstream folks really talking about this. You might see it a little bit on the Daily Mail. So say if the Democrats and the Republicans in the Congress and the Senate can't get it together.
Right.
And they continue to just not do the right thing on the behalf of the American people. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Trump turns around and signs off executive order on all this stuff. Not only does he sign off on, if he can, I'm not sure of legality, but if he can sign off on the $1,200 stimulus and then $1,000 every month for like the next 6 months, you know, kind of like they're doing in Europe. If he signs off on that, if he signs off on stopping the evictions and the rental things, if all that gets pushed through by him in executive order, does he sit back in the White House after November 3rd?
Yep.
Yeah.
He absolutely does. And, you know, he is actually one of the most masterful politicians. And a lot of people don't believe me when I say this, just because he's just how he is. But what people are hearing to when they listen to him is clearly, he's not politically correct.
Never.
But what he does know is he has a feel for the climate. And when I say that, he understands what's going on. And he was on the news and they said, well, when do you think the vaccine will be ready for COVID-19? He said on election day. Now, you can't make this up.
Oh, my goodness.
He's going to solve and save the day with coronavirus on election day. That shows me right now, not only is he masterful, he's doing it right in front of our faces. And guess what? It's sad because the Democrats are in Republicans. They're talking about it.
Yeah.
And if he gets the stuff done and says, you know what? He tells people to keep the 600 extra, plus keep it all the way till like February.
Yeah.
He's going to win again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be surprised if he talks about reparations.
Yeah.
John.
Exactly. And that's been our point all along: the economic justice for, you know, us, everybody, now yellow, red, black, and white. And who is going to do that? Is it going to be the Democrats, Republicans, or Trump? And if you're someone is paying you because you've worked hard all your life, and this coronavirus has come in and messed everything up, and it kind of got you off track, and someone comes by and says, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this, are you not going to find a way as humans to reward or show your gratefulness? Are you going to go to the ballot and just be an ass, basically? You know, I think
right.
that people will fall if he does it and doesn't say right. too much more crazy stuff. I think people are going to fall that way.
Yep, and you're right. You touched on the part where if he sits back, relaxes, doesn't make any real controversial statements anymore. He's already pushed the envelope so far.
Yeah,
he pulls back,
it's not coming back.
Says,
yeah,
you guys. And we see it this week. Joe Biden says that the Latino community is way better diversely than the black community. He's saying it. He's falling apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Donald Trump is pouncing all over him. And, you know, and it's sad. Joe Biden, well, we know Joe Biden, you know, did the 1994 crime.
Yes, he did.
The 1984 mandatory sentencing when he was, I guess, coherent. But
and that's scary.
Like he's having dementia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're talking about his cognitive solitude. And I don't think he has it. He's not prepared to now fight this fight. And I haven't even mentioned, I haven't heard restitution, nothing about reparations.
Yeah.
And the moment he says something bad about the black community, you know how quick Donald Trump jumps on it and said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
No
yep.
And
yeah,
so,
he sure does.
And he's telling the truth.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. And it's really funny. Last couple times I listened to Joe Biden, he sounded like Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, what is this guy? What's wrong with
after
him?
After Ozzy cut up, ate the bird head on my field, I'll be like, I remember.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, this is a trip. And our phone lines are open, by the way. If you want to join this great conversation, it's 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. You're listening to Our Black News. It's Saturday morning, 9:38 a.m. for those early risers that are trying to, like, say, I'll get out of bed at 10. We'll let you know when 10 is, so just sit back and relax and listen. Again, our phone lines are open. You know, it's really strange. I've had this same person. They must call in each week and just listen, because I've clicked on it and asked them. I said, you know, caller, you're live on the air, question or comment, blah, blah, blah. And they never say anything. But I would just like to say that I appreciate you calling in. I'm not going to mess with you unless you hang up and call back and I see a blip. So that means that you want to talk. But if you want to listen.
I know we you know, we have a big show today, and we were going to talk about some things. I really want to dive into the numbers that came out nationwide on the criminal, the crime that has risen over the last 2-3 weeks. So we talked about this on our shows previously, but Minneapolis is leading the way in the nation.
Yep. Go ahead.
95% increase in crime. Violent crime as well. And so, being that Minnesota's so small, we all basically know someone or somebody who's been affected by this crime. And we're hearing the conversations, we're seeing the numbers. What does that look like? And I want to ask you a question. What does it look like going forward into the next 2 to 4 years within Minneapolis on housing prices, on what people are going to do, and what are we going to do with Minneapolis Police Department if they're trying to defund it and the crime is on the rise, right?
Yeah, and that's a huge piece there to kind of consume and deconstruct, because You have the police department where, you know, the Minneapolis City Charter just said, hey, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to stop for a minute. We're going to back up. We're going to review this, which is a good thing. But the city council members, and when you sit at such a valuable, high value seat, and you're one of the actors in that collective, you have to be well read. And from the response, like we said from the very beginning, the city council cannot defund the police. And people were saying, oh, you guys are just being asses. You're being mean to them. You know, Felipe Cunningham, all of them were flipping out. And no, we're not being mean. That's what it says in the charter. Are you reading that? And so with that said, it put them back to square one. But they're aggressively moving forward because they want to be on the like scale.
And that's it, Don.
Yeah.
They're wanting these talking points. It
yeah.
sounds good when you even say defund the police.
Yes.
But to some it does. To others who are seeing this crime, it isn't.
Yeah.
And for those of us who actually read through it and understand what the charter does and
mm-hmm.
understand that the council doesn't have the authority to do so,
yes.
whether they talk about it and then they get these talking points for, you know, the liberal left in Minnesota to vote for them.
Yeah.
We get to the spot where we're back at square one, that
mm-hmm.
we want community oversight. That's always what we wanted. And I think they put Rondo, Chief Arredondo, and others like Mayor Jacob Fry in the hot seat. Remember maybe a month and a half ago, right after George, maybe probably 2 months almost ago, George Floyd died,
yeah.
and they had Jacob, they went outside of, and, you know, I said, you guys, we need to start pulling up to people's houses. Well, they pulled up to Jacob's house.
Mm-hmm.
But the question that they asked him, and they put him on the spot, remember when they asked him, and they said, are you going to defund the police or no? And he said, well, oh, I don't want to abolish the police. And they booed him out of there and all that. Well, that was all the photo op. Remember, it was a photo op.
Yes.
The defund, and we have to keep saying it on our Black News. We want to be very specific. When you hear defunding, they're saying it means divert. And divert the money. And they don't want to use the word divert because the left term of defund.
Defund, yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And so the city council is in a spot to make these decisions. And we realized, guess what? All that racket and stuff
yeah.
they were doing, it didn't even matter because guess what? They're not even going to be voting on it this year, and it was just a whole bunch of tigamaroos.
Yeah, that's it. And they would love to say, like, words like defund, but they would love to say, we're going to castrate the police department. I mean, that's where they want to go, and that defund gives it that same meaning because they're saying it very angrily with emotion. They're not saying it technically. And so our residents in Minneapolis, you know, you live in Minneapolis, I live in St. Paul, but the residents of Minneapolis aren't getting that knowledge that they should be getting from the process from their elected officials, which means they need to change their elected officials next time around. And so getting back to the crime that you originally started out talking about, I think I saw that same report. And, you know, that federal task force that came into Minnesota for the last month or two, they're staying another 30 days. Now, that was just reported by the Pioneer Press. And so they must be finding what they're looking for. So this duplication now that they got going on, if Mayor Fry wants to cut some money, he could get rid of that crime unit that he has, that community crime prevention,
right.
because I think the Fed... The feds are doing what I think they were supposed to do.
Right. And, well, even with the feds, see, this is another big thing. We're seeing the riots out in Portland. They're still going pretty hard. It's been about 70 days or so
yes.
out there. Minneapolis, once the National Guard came in, and those 3 days, everything mostly tuned down. Everybody was like, okay, let's calm down. We'll
mm-hmm.
still, you know, do marches. And, you know, I held marches and stuff like that. But what you see these fake activists throughout the community, they're just marching in circles and
yeah.
they want a parade. They
yeah.
do the Beyonce song, Black Parade. And they're just running around. No real guidance. When we talk about it on our Black News, we always are economically focused
mm-hmm.
and driven. And so we know about economic justice.
Yes.
And so and the left, I hate to say it, when you mention economic justice to the left, it's almost like they run away or
yeah.
they're mad that you're getting into their grant money.
Yeah,
why I'm starting to now work across the board, like I always have, but work across the board with Republicans to actually talk to some of these people. I seen Paul Gazzafa on news yesterday, and
okay.
he was talking about what's going on. We need to be working with those individuals. And if you don't know who Paul is, he's leading the Senate right now. And things go through being that he's running the show over in the Senate, and know that if it goes in the House, who knows what's going to happen this fall in the House? What if the Republicans take the House and the Senate?
Boom.
By golly, they just, they'll keep pulling up to Tim Walz's house, calling them dictator Walz. I know they will. but this is what I'm saying is, if they get the House and they get the Senate, Don,
yeah.
if you're not willing to work for Republicans, you're willing to say, I'm not getting nothing done for 2 years.
Yeah.
You're not getting nothing done for 2 years, and I refuse to keep waiting for 2 years to 2 years to 2 years to be able to get Minnesota on one accord, which what they're saying is they want the left House, a left Senate, and a governor that is extreme left. And guess what, Don?
Yeah.
I hate to burst the bubble with them. This is almost a red – it's a purple state turning red. And if they didn't have Minneapolis
– it would be red.
it would be bloodshot red.
Yeah,
And so now we're changing the conversation. Those fake activists and groups within the city who are, I'll never work with a Republican. Well, guess what? Now it's time to level up, and we're going to pass you. And so Republicans right now have been putting – a lot of things on the table. After this election cycle, we're going to, in November, I'm going to be down there, so I might miss a show or two. I will be down there so much working with the Republicans to get stuff passed, and I'm going to be sitting right next to them passing this stuff through, and I know the Democrats and the liberal left are going to get mad at me. But I have to get this work done, Don, and that's what I'm trying to tell everybody is, it is vital to understand and know what's going on within the system,
yes.
where we're at, and so we can make this change for Minneapolis, Minnesota, and St. Paul.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And before we get to our caller, I just want to say one thing. You know, it's more of, like you said, when you tell the liberals or some left folks, you know, elected officials that you're talking about economic justice or money for the community or this, whenever you get to money, they look at you and – as if you're not supposed to have money.
Right. They want you broke. And
yeah. Yeah. And so with that mind frame, they can't get any money either. So they sit static with us because they haven't opened up and done a business process. They did the emotional, I'm a celebrity. You know, I can't help you guys, and I'm going to drive a Navigator, and, you know, I'm going to eat all the fried chicken at Popeye, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But we do have a caller.
Yes.
We do have a caller. Okay. Caller, you're live on Our Black News. What's your name and your question or comment?
This is Mr. Sports Medicine. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you guys this morning?
Great. Good morning.
I have an observation. When you see, like, in my community, I live in the Crocus Hill area and in surrounding communities around Crocus Hill. And what I find interesting is you see a lot of people with the, George Floyd signs and Black Lives Matter. And here's my take on it. I do believe that some white people do care about the situation. But I think a lot of them put those signs out as a deterrence to keep people from looting and from people breaking in or burning down their properties and businesses and things like that. So it's a double hustle. You know, they look politically correct, but at the same time, they're protecting their stuff at the same time. And so I'm really disheartened about that because I just wish people would be who they really are. Let's see, people want to be politically correct now, and at least they want to appear that way just so they can be on the right side of history. And those type of things bother me. And you know, in terms of people and money and how people are going to get through and how they're going to make it, I do still see people buying new cars. I still see people going out to eat. So you know, I don't really think people are taking this thing as serious as they should. This is a very, very serious matter that we're getting ready to go through. And they said there's going to be a shortage of power this winter. And so, you know, we're getting ready to go through the winter months. And people are not taking it serious. So I think it's the proper time for people to plan and to organize and get ready for the fall, winter months. And try to position themselves the best way they can to survive this thing, because it's really a dangerous time now in the country and in the state of Minnesota.
Yep, we agree. Yep. Go ahead, Donovan. Go ahead.
He hit on so many vital points right now, but what I want to really piggyback off what he was saying was that the reality of what we're going to be going through as a nation the next. And I call them ripple effects, but the next maybe 3 to 6 months immediately is going to be probably the worst that we've – luckily winter's coming, but we haven't seen anything of this magnitude coming. It's like a tsunami that we've never seen coming, and people are playing on the beach.
Yeah.
And the water is receding in. People are homeless on levels that we've never seen. Jobs are all closed down. People are dying. The ICUs are filled up. Whether it's the COVID or if they're blaming it on COVID, the money is seizing up. And
yeah.
The system is getting tight on everybody in the system. And we're dealing with the nation of ignorance.
Yeah, and I agree. I thank you, caller. And let me tell you this, Jonathan. The city of St. Paul, the mayor, and whoever else should be totally ashamed of themselves. Across the street from the Goodwill on University Avenue between Griggs and that street by the Target on the south side of University heading toward downtown St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
There's
I see Melvin Carter out there yesterday.
Yeah, there's a lady out there with all her belongings. Everything from her house is on the sidewalk. And she has a chair sitting next to her refrigerator. It's a display that's probably 40, 50 feet long along the sidewalk. All of her belongings are out there on the street, and she's sitting there in a chair, and she says, she wrote on the sign, "Police robbed me," and some other things happened, and I'm looking at that like that's getting ready to happen on a massive scale.
Oh, you're right. You're
okay.
Right. You're right. It's scary.
And that's just a taste of what's getting ready to come if these politicians that say they represent us don't get the job done. And right now they're not getting the job done. And I think that folks want to see an apocalypse. Like you said about Trump a minute ago, and we're not defending him. We don't endorse any politicians on this show or anything like that. But they're playing into his hand, okay? And if
right.
he wants to be Captain Save the World or Save the United States, he has the fiduciary and presidential authority to do as such.
Right.
And
he will use his executive order to do so.
Yeah. And so getting back to the whole thing on crime, housing, this homeless piece, this economic piece crushing everybody, it needs to be fixed within the next 72 hours. Period.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if they don't, Don, they'll probably come this Monday, Tuesday. It can't go to next weekend, and you know, with our American government, I can fight.
Yeah.
But you said it right there. He will use whatever. If people want to see apocalypse, they want to see us all. Everybody wants to just have mass chaos. That's what it is. You can feel that. You know, people just they want to be okay, but they want everybody else to be going through hell.
Yeah,
and that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And so now. What I'm seeing is that mentality accompanied on the reality of COVID-19. People are closing their businesses. Our GDP, and I talked about this the other day ago,
mm-hmm.
that our GDP drop is at 34% right now. If you don't kind of understand the magnitude of what's about to approach, just let me give you a clue. At the Great Depression, no, at 1% drop in GDP is a recession.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay. Then we had 7% is like Obama, what Obama did. Remember, we had, you know, the Obama you know, all the, you know, the housing and all the bailouts for the banks and all that. Then we have 15%. That's the Great Depression.
Okay? Yeah.
We're at 33 to 34% drop in GDP, and it's only August.
Yeah.
And so right now we're double the Great Depression, and it hasn't even came yet.
Yeah.
I'm talking about next summer. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We're going to be rationing food. Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God.
And
it's going to be really bad.
And the media makeup covering that up is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And like, I mean, you know about, obviously
quite
you
fast.
Know. I said, you know about the GDP and all that, what's happening, but
right.
Like, what about the people that don't know what that means or know what's coming down the pike because they are so stuck listening to one thing one way? I mean, that's been my biggest complaint for a long time, but there's some serious stuff, again, that's getting ready to go down and pop off, and folks need to be prepared, especially Black folks, because we're always at the bottom of the food chain.
And you touched on it right there. Right there, Don.
Mm.
We're at the bottom of the food chain. We're the essential workers. COVID-19 is hitting us the most because we're on the front lines. We don't have adequate health care. We don't have jobs. We don't have money. We don't have assets. We don't have houses. We don't have land.
Mm.
We don't have any agriculture a mindset or frame to learn how to live off the land. We're at a spot right now where I pray that the Republicans do talk about reparations and us focus in on America, say, you know what, shut her down. If this is what it's going to be, you guys are going to argue whatever Anthony Fauci said. Okay, we're not getting no shit. This is what the Republicans are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know this too. Well, and I would say, not the Republicans, I would say the evangelical conservative right.
Yeah.
Thinking that the chip is coming, 666.
Yeah.
They're going through it. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, that's the path. Yep, exactly.
That's the path. Whatever is the revelation, they're thinking that's coming right now, okay? Now I'm in a state on the left that thinks none of that stuff's coming, okay? Whatever you believe, you can believe whatever you want. And like we said, we don't endorse or say anything or any type of way. We love Muslims, everybody. But what I'm saying is the conservative evangelicals who 90% vote for the Republican Party, right?
Yeah.
In this Christian base, they are reading Revelation, right?
Yeah, and scaring the hell out of them.
I'm telling you, the conversations, I talked to them.
Oh, wow.
They're coming. They're going to do 666. Anthony Fauci is part of it. Donald Trump is in the Bible. And they should.
Yay!
And I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
My conservative friends, they out there, well, you know, it's true.
Yeah.
it looks that way. Maybe you're right. But what I'll say is this. We're dealing with the mind frame of different realities across the board, and we're coming to an intersection, Don, where if we don't put our minds together and say we need to get all on the same page, what do we do about homelessness? What do we about – there's nothing wrong with getting money. And this is another thing I have to tell my Democratic friends and the liberal left. When Black people talk about economic justice and we have our path forward because we've been just oppressed and just bamboozled every single turn, so we know the way to go.
Yeah.
So we're hoodwinked.
Yeah.
And that goes into what you said earlier on our title. But we've been hoodwinked, and now when we talk about this economic justice and we have a plan forward, please don't stop us, liberal left. And I will ask my conservative friends on the right, please work with your brothers who are trying to work hard, use our Second Amendment rights, and we love God. Come, let us join with you.
Yeah, please.
Please let us join, because what's been going on in these Democratic cities, I hate to say it, looks across the Black Democratic cities all throughout across the nation. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Baltimore. Yeah. Baltimore looks like a war zone, man. Didn't mean to cut you off, but Baltimore looks like it is like, oh my God, you know, what happened here? You know, Detroit have those big, beautiful houses in the city that are abandoned. Homeless folks are living in
them. They're paying people $1,000 to move. They were, a couple years ago, they were paying people $1,000 to move to Detroit.
Yeah.
Meaning you can get a house and get $1,000.
Yeah, yeah. Please come here. But check this out. Talking about real estate. And people don't look any further than sometimes than their next appointment or 24 hours. But Jonathan, let's talk about downtown Minneapolis and downtown St. Paul after the first snowfall.
Okay, right. It's right. Shut
down. It's there's the restaurant. Like I took my kids down to the candy store, Candyland, I think it's called, downtown St. Paul there. I think it's on Wabasha or whatever. And that was open, and the Afro Deli was open. So we got some food. I took the kids to the Candyland so they could lose their mind, get some candy. That was it. But people were all outside. You can't do that in the wintertime, nor can you put up one of those heat tents because of COVID-19. So we're going to be back at restaurants losing business. Like, I get emails a little bit from these restaurants that say they're going to open and da-da-da. But at the limit or rates they're opening, it's not going to benefit anybody because it's not going to be a good time. It's going to be very stuffy and controlling because you'll have to sit here, do this, walk this way, wear a mask, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be so difficult for people, especially with this winter. Well, we know that the hurricane season is going to be one of the most violent hurricane season, they said, who knows what the meteorologists are saying, but I do believe them. I can feel it in the atmosphere, meaning that it's more than likely going to be a horrible winter for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota is not, we are not prepared.
No.
We are not prepared
for
what's going on. There is three waves. Well, if you look back in 1918 with the last epidemic or pandemic, I should say, with the Spanish flu, the second wave was the most deadly. That's where they implemented everybody wearing masks. That's where we're at now. That's why I could so easily pinpoint when we were going to do it around August, September area, because I just followed the script. You know, history repeats itself.
Yeah.
I actually use that saying, so I go back and look. What's the last one? And so, remember, it was the red summer of 1919, so I was screaming, hot summer of 2020.
Yeah,
you know, why not? To all about. But where we're at right now is there's two more waves. We're entering the second wave, then there's a third wave.
Mm-hmm.
The third wave is going to be in the springtime, at the end of February, going into March, April, May. It's going to slow down and stop in June, in July, next summer. So
that's a long time.
This is a long time, basically next year at this time. And people hate when I say this, Don. They say you're pessimistic. You're a pessimist. You're not. But I've been giving everybody the adequate knowledge that they need to be able to be in a better position. But now this next wave, Don, is going to wipe so many people off the map, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning people are going to die because the flu season is going to coincide with COVID-19. We already said, I know I was talking to one of my friends, and they got a they went to go get a COVID-19 test. And I'm not going to say any names or places. I think there's a lawsuit already going on. And, you know, when you're getting into this COVID stuff, you know, they could probably pull up to your house and do something to you. I'm not going to talk bad about it. But what I would say is they went to the COVID-19 testing place. The line was just ridiculous. They put their names on the list. They said, you know what? Damn it, let's get out of here. We'll just come back and do it another day. Well, you know me, I would never put my name on the list because, you know, you just don't put your name on it. But they put their name on the list, they left. They got a call back, Don, 4 days later and said, well, you're positive, COVID-19.
Oh!
They said, what the hell? We left to go to Culver's. We went to Culver's and, hey, we didn't even go get tested. And they came back positive. And so, God, right there.
Yeah.
That story right there, you know, I'm going to go live with that. I want to do a nice interview. I'm going to get the COVID-19, but who knows where this is going to take.
Just think of how many times that has happened already.
And Scott Jensen, a Republican representative, sorry, senator, I believe, senator, said he went on the record, Scott Jensen, and if he's following a you can maybe comment on this, Scott, but he came out and said that they were telling him, because he's a doctor, to say that the autopsies were COVID-19 when it was things that he's been doing all his life. So a person came in, whatever it was, they died. He had a different autopsy result, and they came in and said, nah, it's COVID-19. And so if we're hearing these types of things, are the number, what is going on? And that's where I think a lot of people are saying we need the transparency. We need more than Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. Mm-hmm. We need people actually talking about it, giving us the real information. And do we know that there's false positives? Yes, they told us that 15 to 20% of all the tests are false positives, 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6. And so that's the reality of where we're at. And if we don't get this knowledge out, if we don't get this information out, Don, to the masses,
right.
That's why our black news is so vital. You're not going to hear this on WCCO. You might not hear this on KSTP or Care 11.
Definitely
on
NPR.
Our black news.
Yeah. And again, our phone lines is open. You're listening to Our Black News. It's Saturday, 10:05 a.m. We got about 25 minutes to go. Our calling number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number, for those of you that actually write down numbers, is 347-426-3904. If you have a comment or concern or a criticism, please give us a call. Yeah, and Jonathan, another interesting thing that we have to move into, a couple of endorsements that one I'm cool with, the other one I have questions about. And
okay, let's get into it.
Yeah, and as you know, this week, the Star and Tribune endorsed Milton. I think
Anton.
That's how, Anton. Anyway, you know what his name is. Anton.
Yeah.
Why did I call him Milton?
So, well, it looks like Anton, but it's Anton.
Okay. That's what
Anton.
I was wondering. Well, anyway, Anton is the heir apparent for the 5th Congressional District via the Star and Tribune, and he has been granted grace by this liberal newspaper, this same paper who treated Congresswoman Ilhan Omar as the first, the arrival, the princess, the queen of Congress for Minneapolis, and with all the accolades they could give her throughout the years. They have turned on her, you know.
Right.
And went with Anton. And so with that said,
real quick, John, why do you think they turned on her?
There could be many reasons, and I'm sure that it has nothing to do with her allegedly marrying her brother. It might have something to do with all that money she's spending outside of the state, and the stakeholders here in charge of the DFL and that work closely with the Star and Tribune they're not feeling her spending habits. It's all back
right.
to economics, you know. It all boils
right.
down to economics. And her representation is, I think she got too celebrity for them. You know, I think
right.
I think she went out there, you know, AOC, I like AOC. I don't care if you're Republican, whatever. AOC is cool because I like her mouth. I like what she's doing. She's talking. She was nailing some people, some contractors against the wall on YouTube. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is powerful. I don't see
right.
Congresswoman Omar doing that. I see her
right.
battling Trump on Twitter. That's not helping
right.
anybody, you
right.
know?
Definitely not Minnesota.
Not Minnesota. It's like, hey, it's cold here. We can't battle the president on Twitter. We got other things. Where is a warm place? Tweet. Okay, be there in a minute. Okay, but we can't do that, you know? And,
right.
and that celebrity status thing, and I kind of feel bad for it. Not really. But it happened, and so she's out of the box. Now,
right.
wait.
And,
go ahead.
Well, and I want to touch on it quick. I know Anton, he's been running. He's got the money. He's been getting, you know, I think he's got $3 to $5 million, real quick money, and that helps with, you know, the commercials, the campaigning, and all that. Ilhan Omar, I believe, you know, where she went wrong was, and also she follows in on Our Black News, and she's been following all the events going on. So if you're tuning in, Ilhan, nothing wrong against you. We're just doing constructive criticism, I would say, in the least. But I really would question a lot of the moves, and whoever her campaign, you know, manager is, it's just they've been doing a horrible job.
Yes, they have.
Because if you have to address, and the Republicans are going to jump on this, you know, maybe like you said,
no, they're not.
They gave her brother a pass.
Yeah.
They gave her brother and her being married a pass. And, you know, that was a concerning issue for many of us. I think we got over that hump. which we still probably have to address it. Who knows what was going on with that?
Yeah.
And it might have been immigration fraud. You know, at the end of the day, there's so many people trying to get to America, and that's how they're doing it. It's one of the loopholes that Donald Trump talked about, and we have to address it. But, you know, it's a touchy subject as we have people at the border right now. But this money, though, it always goes back to economics.
Yeah.
You said the capital. And when they found out, you know, and she got recently remarried to one of her consultants, and white guy, no problem, you know, it doesn't matter what they are, but what they're mad is they seen her giving this guy over $1 million. And so when you're making it rain, if you're making it rain on your consultants that happen to be your husband,
yeah,
people feel like that money is indirectly going to you and
other places,
which we know it is.
Yeah, you got to be crazy.
And so she, you know, maybe she thought she was going to get a through Congress, but I beg to differ now. Mm-hmm. And I think that she will not be an elected official no longer in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's pretty interesting that you say that because it's they're not going to give her a pass, and they're going to further deconstruct all this stuff that went on. But also, it's like this. I don't know if Biden's going to win. If Biden wins, say he wins, and my internet just went out, so we're going to keep going here. Say he wins, and the internet just was tripping, man, for a minute. Say he wins. I'm waiting for the signal to connect here. Give me a second here. We're still live on Blog Talk Radio.
I can keep going.
Yeah,
I'll keep going. I think we're still going.
Yeah.
So Ilhan Omar, she's at a spot where right now she won't be. I think she won't be back. She after giving the money to her husband and you know with the brother allegation, I think that Anton now has a position. He's in a position now. That is going to now.
You're frozen. And we're all frozen. Okay, I'm not frozen. Anyway, we're talking about Ilhan Omar and the endorsement by the Star and Tribune. And we're on live on Blog Talk Radio and Zoom, and so we're going to leave it there. I don't know what's going on with the internet. It's 10:12, so what we're going to do is I'm going to see if I can get Jonathan back in. Oh, wow, that's really strange. Here we go. Okay. Well, thanks for listening to Blog Talk Radio. Oh, here he is, here he is, here he is, here he is. Hey, Jonathan?
Yes, I'm back.
We're back.
Sorry,
you know what?
It
wasn't your technical difficulty. It was like, you know, we're talking about Ilhan Omar. And and when you when you talk about these folks, you know, things happen to your technology that should never happen. And
John, I was going to say that, but they always call me conspiratory, so I wouldn't even go down.
You know, it used to happen to Ron Edwards and I all the time. But the thing is, now let's look at the flip side of this endorsement. Let's go to the black community. It's 10:15, so we have about 10 minutes to kind of wrap this. And 10 or 12, and we can do it. If we go to the black community and we look at the newspaper, the black newspaper, there's two main black newspapers or I should say black American newspapers that have been here for at least 20 years or more. And one of them that I know for sure publicly and on Twitter endorsed Ilhan Omar. They did not endorse Anton at all. And I don't have to say the name of the newspaper. Most of y'all know who I'm talking about. They went ahead and endorsed this, this is ridiculous because I'm sorry, listeners, our internet went down again, and so I need to try something different. Wow, these people are straight up tripping. Okay, here we go. There's a way to skin the cat on this, and I'm going to do it in under 10 seconds, and it's not going to be a problem here. Okay. I need to get that going. I need to leave that. No, I'm not going to leave the meeting. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to log into a better Wi-Fi, which I should have done in the beginning, and take it to the hotline. Boom. I should aim it. 2010. Boom. There we go. Connected. Perfect. Wi-Fi. We want better Wi-Fi. Okay, we're still here. And Jonathan is logged. But Jonathan, man, this is deep, dude, because
this
I'm going to tell you.
We're going into some heavy stuff. This never happened. Ever.
Yeah, never, 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 ever. And we're going to finish it, too, because I have to hard line everything in. And this is going to be labeled part three because we're going to come back to this one. Some people are going to come back this big time. And boom, there we go. Part three, we're up and running. Part three, we're up and running. There we go. Yeah, this is really weird, man, because all the Wi-Fi, I had to switch everything to hardline, and I don't even know if my phone's still on. Oh, yeah, it's still on. So we're good. Now we're broadcasting on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome back. We've been here, but let me explain this real quick, and then we got a caller we got to take. I think it's Mr. Tucker. But when these newspapers in the black community endorse black candidates, they've usually gotten a deal for spending money on advertising for that newspaper, or that particular publisher or editor has a radio show or does some stuff on behalf of the candidate, you know, and there goes.
Right.
And so with that said, there's something wrong with that endorsement in my eyes, because number one, it's based, supposed to be based on objectivity. And I know that there's been rumors in our black community that one black newspaper might give you a deal if they're your friend. Whereas if you're someone else, you have to pay full price. I've never confirmed that.
Right.
But I think the Omar endorsement by one of the black newspapers is strictly based on funding. And they didn't, future funding might go away. You know? And so with that said, that's what I think that's going on. But let's take this caller. This will be our last. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, touch on it. You, like you said, with the endorsement with the Star Tribune, you know they're not going to endorse anyone they don't feel like is going to win.
You're right.
I'll tell you that. And so Antone is going to be the winner. I'm going to tell you guys now. Omar's on her way out. And watch what the fake activists and those in the city who push for Ilhan Omar, push for her. Watch how they do her in Minneapolis when she comes back. I'm telling you, it's going to get bad.
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree with you 100%. Caller, this looks like Mr. Larry Tucker. You're live on Our Black News with all the technical difficulties because we're talking about deep stuff. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Don. Thanks for taking my call. The Emolument Clause is an issue that surrounded Omar. And I think that the violation of the Monument Clause, there's not a politician in Congress that has not violated the Emolument Clause. That means that you cannot get rich by participating in government contracts and taking money. Every politician I know come in office at zero and end up as multimillionaires, as did the Rice Lady. So if you're going to penalize her for the Monument Clause and giving her this large amount of money to a law firm, if you knock her in the head for that, you ought to knock all the people in the head for that. And I think that's a bogus claim for dismissing her and not voting for her. I just think that we need to do more of our homework. And, you know, I'm a product of the 60s, and one of the things we did, and I've been saying it for years, is that we did our homework. We did our homework. And many of these people have not done any homework. They come in just emotional. And they talk about issues that they know very little about and know the rationale for it. For instance, if you have a glitch on your credit, it stays on it for 10 years. If you violate a tax law, it only stays for 7. Come on, y'all. And the reason that the American blacks are not able to get housing because of these glitches that stay on their credit. I was involved mm-hmm. in a deal where they did not give a lady a loan because she had a $30 Roto-Rooter bill.
Wow.
These people do not know enough about our system. And you have to ask the Whitney Young, who benefits by keeping these glitches on your credit for 10 years and where you commit certain crimes and only stays for 5 and 7? Who benefits?
Mm.
That's an issue that you have to get into. You got a moderate income people, and if you move those from, say, 3% to 7%, a lot of our people would not qualify. I just think that we need to understand these laws and how they apply. And what most
yep.
people are doing is servicing or correcting the symptoms versus the problem, because they don't know what the problem is and know how it affects people. I think we need mm-hmm. to do our homework to not to vote for Omar because she gave money to a particular law firm is no excuse. All of them do it. All of them do it.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Tucker. Do you think that could possibly be one of the reasons? You know, deep down somewhere, someone pissed off about that?
Well, you know, it's my experiences with bankers and getting loans and doing things, bank didn't need a good reason to make a bad loan, and they didn't need a bad reason to make a good loan. They do what they mm-hmm. want to do. People just look mm-hmm. for reasons, so something to hang their hat on when they're supporting candidate A or candidate B. And
okay.
I'm not – my concern is that if they're not dealing with economics, one of the things I like about – when Rudy Boschwitz was in office, I got some major contracts out of the state of Minnesota and the government. When Wellstone was mm-hmm. in office, they told me, well, we're not trying to make anybody rich. I think there's an issue there. There's an issue there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that until we deal with the economics of what's going on and understand how those economics work, we have to understand how banking works, how that whole process works. We got people mm-hmm. running around this community and saying, I like you, I don't like you, I'm going to give you a favor, I don't like this other person. That's crazy stuff.
It
doesn't make
yes.
any difference who's in there, blue, black, white, green, or polka dot, Republicans or Democrats, unless they're providing certain kinds of dollar amounts and helping us make money and so that we can afford these things. You got all these buildings burned down. Not one black person got a contract. A potential contract out of repairing those buildings.
That's
an issue for me.
That's a rotten shame. And there are qualified out there, as you know. Mr. Tucker, I'm going to put you in the queue. We have a few more minutes left, so you can listen. Is that okay?
Yeah, bye.
And we do have a couple more callers. Caller, this is, looks like our producers tell us that this is Mr. T from his palatial estate in South Minneapolis. Or M or something like that. Hello, sir. You're live on the air.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I really just was really wanting to listen. It was a great program, and I called in basically because I got cut off several times on the computer. You guys were getting so toxic, and I think that the powers that be is very strange. That's the reason I called in. But I do want to say that on the Democratic presidential thing, just a couple quick things. With the Biden and Trump, and you gentlemen have made it clear that you feel that, you know, it's a slam dunk already. The problem I have with Biden is, to me, in the old days, they used to have people that in the entertainment business, they would be called a second banana. In other words, if you used to watch the old Johnny Carson show, and you'd see Johnny Carson, and then he'd have Ed McMahon that would just sit there and laugh at everything Johnny Carson said. And even when Johnny Carson was gone, they wouldn't let Ed McMahon be to sit behind the chair. They'd have to get a guest host so Ed McMahon could be the second banana to that person. And that's how I view Biden, as just as a second banana. So I don't know. I don't know that he has the oomph, really, to be president. I mean, we can always see, we can see all the things that he doesn't have in his history. But what choice do we have? This is what it comes down to. Even when we talk about Ilhan and Melton, whatever you guys told me the name was, Antone, what choices do we have? We really don't have good choices. And so this is where I'm in a real quandary in who to vote for. I want to vote for the best person, and I'm really having a difficult time even deciding who that is.
And, of course, you're not running, so you really don't know. Hey, I apologize for the difficulties because what's been happening is that I went to a hard line, but a hard line internet connection. I'm still getting cut off on Facebook Live, but the only thing consistent here is always is this show in its entirety is on Blog Talk Radio. And and I'm going to put you in the queue because we got one more call before we wrap it up. We got about 3 or 4 minutes here. Caller, area code 314, you're live on iBlack News. What's your question?
Well, I'm a supporter and voter for Donald Trump, by the way, because of his issues. And I'm black. And people need to realize that all blacks are not the same. But and we're getting ready to start out and impeach Joe Biden as soon as he's elected. It's going to go on for 16 years if needed. But as far as Omar is concerned, I wouldn't vote for her if she was running for my representation or somebody that's coming from the way that they came. Now, that's up to the people up there in Minneapolis to do. You do what you want to do. That's your politics. But when you get back around to your politicians serving people and following the wishes of businesses, that's what's controlled the politics. The businesses should control the politics. But as far as she's concerned, what is there, sponsors for more money to go to Somalia? And so on and so on and so on. You've seen the other lady down in former John Conyers' position sponsoring for more money to go to Palestine. Well, something's wrong with that picture. I mean, I'm sure you would agree to that yourself.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's very interesting that she is maneuvering in different ways that she, to me, she has no business. And I'm in St. Paul, so I can't vote for her, nor would I if I lived in the 5th Congressional District, but we have the same problem in St. Paul with the 4th Congressional District Congressperson Betty McCulloch, who people have been looking for her. Anybody seen her?
Mm-hmm.
She's not at events. She's nowhere. She slips back in every 2 years.
And you know, another thing, here in St. Louis, Congressman Lacey Clay, the son of Bill Clay, who was a congressman for the 1st Congressional District in St. Louis. The father, Bill, done a marvelous job, especially with the post office where he sat on their committee. But his son has done a good job. He knows how to work both sides of the aisle. But he was defeated by a protester, this woman, Cori Bush. She never held any political position, not even a committee person. And then this goes to show you that how people can be whooped up into a frenzy to do things, in this case to vote, without doing any homework. So I heard somebody else there say about doing homework. What's the homework? And why are we just voting for people because of the color of their skin? What are their issues, and what are your issues, which is more important? You're supposed to give a politician marching orders. When you get here, we want you to do this. You can do other things, but you got to do this. If not, we're going to show you the door.
Exactly. Well, hey, thanks for your call. We're closing out. It's
10:30
a.m. Saturday. Appreciate the call. And as always, thank you, Jonathan. We'll be back next week, hopefully without the technical difficulties. And we're going to let James Brown take us away. Thank you.